Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host Avik, and today we are joined by Michael Glick. So welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Lovely, lovely. So Michael, like before we start our conversation, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Michael is known for his leaders go first philosophy and his transformative journey following a tragic incident in 2023. Yep. So from trauma to purpose, Clegg shares insights on resilience and reframing the life's challenges. So welcome to the show again, Clegg.
No, thank you. I appreciate for having me.
Great, great. So Michael, like if you can share with us the details of the incidents or a brief about the incident that happened in 2023 and that profoundly impacted your life and set you on a new path.
No, thank you. You know, this is kind of new for me. About 2 weeks ago, I did a TED talk on this, which was really cool and quite rewarding, amazing, the whole process. One of the toughest things that I've ever done. Hmm. And that was the first time that I've ever told the story publicly.
Yeah.
And so this is really still very fresh. On my mind, on my heart. And essentially, so I'm the CEO of a professional staffing firm. Mm. And I also coach high school football, which is American football. And I was coming back from a tournament last spring, March of 2023. Okay. And I mean, there's no better way to say it. There was someone that was standing on a bridge and jumped off in front of my truck. And it happened simultaneously. I didn't have an opportunity or time to stop or to avoid or even to swerve. I mean, it was very simultaneously. And unfortunately, I ran over the individual and that person didn't make it. And I don't know a whole lot about the person that jumped. I never learned their name. I never learned anything about their life story. All that I know is that they parked their car on top of a bridge and jumped off. So that started an entire, I mean, as you can imagine, and anyone can, anytime you go through something so horrific, you know, and as I say in my TED talk, you know, these are images that no human being should ever have to see. And man, it was tough. It was a tough few months.
Yeah.
And as anyone could imagine, and I think one of the hardest parts about it were the people that were closest to me. I don't think really understood, and in their defense, I don't know that I explained it very well. You know, I pretended to be okay. I pretended that nothing bothered me. That, you know, stuff happens. You can't control the things that happen, but you can only control how you respond to it, which is true. But I did not handle it well. I didn't explain it well. I didn't tell people about it. Very few people knew about it, or I mean, a lot of people knew about it, but really knew the actual story. And I was in a tough place for a few months. And that was the hard part about the event itself. Right? It was just because everyone, as you can imagine, everyone was trying to console me. Right. Yeah. I mean, word of the accident spread pretty quickly. You know, something crazy like that happens. Mm. Obviously, the news traveled fast. But, Most people were trying to be consoling, right? Trying to be considerate and respectful. And it was, a one of the things. Well, and by the way, everyone calls me Clegg by my last name. Even my wife calls me Clegg, so I know that's really weird. But they were like, Clegg, it could have happened to anybody. Clegg, it wasn't your fault. Clegg, it'll be okay, right? And everyone meant well by that, but I really truly felt that I was just being judged, right? That it wasn't a big deal. And so in my mind, I'm going, why do I feel so bad? If everybody says it's not a big deal, maybe it's not a big deal. Life happens. So it was tough. I'm not gonna lie. It was a tough 3 or 4 months following. Last summer was, I don't remember a lot of the summer, honestly. I remember not wanting to get out of bed to go to work. I wasn't being present, in the most important areas of my life, family and business. Just wasn't being present. So it was
Understood.
tough.
Thanks, Michael, for sharing your story. So, from here, how did you initially cope with the trauma of witnessing such a tragic event? I mean, what steps did you took to begin your
Yeah.
journey to the recovery?
No, great question. The morning after, I woke up to hundreds of text messages and emails, social media, Instagram and Facebook messages, LinkedIn messages. I was getting messages from everywhere, which was, that was helpful. It really was because, all of the messages were very kind, but they all said the same thing. Truly, they all said the same thing, which was, it's not your fault. Could have happened to anybody. And I think from a next steps perspective, I knew that I needed to see a therapist, right? I knew that. And so even though I didn't want to get out of bed, I did. And so I saw a therapist later that day, and I spent hours with her. And that was the beginning. What I call in my TED talk, she became my empathetic witness. There's a great quote by Dr. Peter Levine that says, trauma is not what happens to us, but it's what we hold inside in the absence of an empathetic witness. And, she became that empathetic witness. And the cool thing about it for me, that really was the beginning. Even though I struggled for several months following that morning after, but it was the beginning of having, a person to talk to that didn't judge, right? And I can remember, like I said, I met with her for, a couple, maybe even a few hours. I don't recall exactly, but there wasn't a whole lot of talking going on. We sat in silence for a better part of the time we spent together. And she never judged me, and I know that's the role of a therapist. I understand that she's trained to let me, just be, and that's the way it was. And that was really the beginning. But several months went by, and I still was struggling, wasn't quite sure, how I was going to get through this. And honestly, I just thought it was something that just happened in life and would just pass by, right? And I discovered Dr. Benjamin Hardy on YouTube, his YouTube channel, and with messages of like transformation and being your future self. And something about that message really spoke to me. This was probably July or August of last year. And it just, I can't describe it. It was amazing. I felt like there was, I think it gave me hope. Right, that there is a way to, because when you wake up, anyone that has experienced any level of trauma, you wake up every day thinking about it, right? You wake up with this feeling in your stomach of this, like, this hole, this emptiness, this almost like a burden of thought, and it's really hard to get out of your head. It's really hard to get out of your mind. And this, the moment, I'm not kidding you. I think when I listened to one of the first videos about rapid transformation, as he calls it, I was like, okay, I'm all in. I don't even know what this guy or who this guy is, but I like what he's saying. It just spoke to me. I mean, really, it was almost like a gospel to me. And so a couple months following that, I had watched every video he'd ever produced. I tried reading everything he'd ever written. He was a pretty famous, had become a pretty famous writer on Medium. I read all of his books that he'd written. I mean, it was I was a Dr. Benjamin Hardy stalker, and he didn't even know me, right? So I followed everything that the man put out. And so a couple months following that, I joined the mastermind group with him. And that's when I really started doing a lot of deep work. I started journaling, and you have to understand, like, I don't journal. I'm not, that's not like all of the things that I was doing. Really, I would have judged prior to the accident as being like really kind of fluffy and woo-woo, like not really my style. But I got to be honest, the journaling was a game changer for me. I remembered things as a kid that I had forgotten about. I'd remembered other areas of my life where there was some trauma, things that happened to me as a kid. It was unbelievable. And I also, in that moment, or in one of the moments I was journaling, I remembered, and that's how I start my TED talk of telling the story of me standing on top of a bunk bed that I shared with my little brother. I was 8 years old and he was three. And I was holding a Bible in my hand, and I pretended to preach to my little brother. And when I remembered that and I was writing it, I was like, I'm going to be a public speaker. I'm going to be a professional speaker. And it's the craziest thing because, I mean, I've spoken before. Anytime you're an executive in a company, you have to get up in front of people, or you have to present to certain audiences. I mean, those things come with the job of being a CEO. But, going out to tell my story was not something that was ever on my mind. And so that was really the beginning of the change. And, from therapy to journaling to deep reflection on my past, I mean, those were game changers. And anybody that makes fun of or laughs at journaling or says, oh, I can't journal, I don't do that, I can't focus long enough, I'm with you. That's where I was 12 months ago. But I'll tell you, it's been amazing, an amazing process. And now it's just becoming, I'm still not good at it. Don't mistake what I'm saying. I still don't journal as religiously as I'd like to, but when I do, it's powerful. So that was the beginning of the recovery.
That's really great, I would say. So, many people struggle with finding that purpose after experiencing the trauma. So, what advice would you give to those who are searching for meaning in their own lives after facing the adversity?
Yeah, no, excellent question. And thank you for asking it, by the way, because to me, I think that is the important question. And I'm still new at this. I mean, this is, like I said, I mean, I just started telling the story. And so please forgive me if I'm a little bit all over the place at times. But the whole idea of being your future self, like that in and of itself, if you can adapt to that. So one of the things that Dr. Benjamin Hardy teaches, and he's not the only one. There's a lot of science that is beginning to come out regarding goal setting, which ties into, what we want to do in life, what's our purpose. And Dr. Hardy says that most people look at time in a linear fashion, right? You've got the past that leads to your present, that leads to your future. And he's flipping the paradigm upside down. And honestly, I mean, that started with Einstein, right? With his theory of relativity. I mean, it was, Einstein saw time differently, but Einstein was an anomaly, right? I mean, not a lot of people really understood what he was saying at the time. And just now, over the last couple of years, it's really starting to show itself. And what I learned with Dr. Hardy was that you need to focus on the future and be in the future self. And while you're in the middle of this significant pain or this significant, I don't even know the word, like this awful feeling of not wanting to move forward, it's almost paralyzing. Like it's just easier just not to show up. It's easier to just want to go away, or, you know, not to have responsibilities, not to have, like, all, once again, all of the things. I mean, I was a CEO, a husband, a father of three, and I just wasn't being present. I just wasn't showing up. And so this idea of becoming a future self and the journaling, when I started thinking about, man, maybe I do want to be a professional speaker. Maybe I do want to share this message. But then you start having the imposter syndrome, right? You start going, ah, well, who wants to hear my story? You know, this stuff happens to people all the time. Why am I different? And you really have to put your limiting beliefs in check. And we all have them, right? You know, that's part of the human spirit. You know, it's the whole fight or flight mechanism of the amygdala that we all have, unfortunately. Fortunate and unfortunate, I guess. But, you know, this idea of time not being linear and being your future self, that's so one of the things that that Dan Sullivan, who's this, you know, he's one of the more famous CEO coaches. He's written several books, just fantastic individual. You know, what he says is if you want a better present, make your future bigger. So you think about that and you go, okay, so what does that mean? So in my mind, you know, in therapy and working with my empathetic witness, I was learning that the way to recover is to find way to help others. And it, when you're in that moment, it's so hard because selfishly you want to help yourself. Right. You want to help yourself first. I mean, I even teach in leadership development. Put your oxygen mask on first is the title of one of my talks, because you have to help yourself first. But the great thing about hope and being your future self is that you begin the journey of a path of wanting to help others. And by default, that the accident put me in. And so then I started like the. I'll never forget one day waking up and I didn't have that pit in my stomach.
True.
And I definitely journaled that morning. Like I didn't even go to work. I remember journaling and I just said, I don't know where this feeling is. It's gone.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now, just like thinking about that, but it was gone. And I attribute that to this idea of becoming my future self which was creating a leadership development program. Like I want to humanize 100,000 conscious leaders in corporate America. Most people go, Clegg, what the hell does that mean? What's humanizing leadership? Well, I'm Gen X, so I'm 50. Okay. So I grew up where it was very common in the workplace to have a command and control leader, right? That style, right? And that's not what the millennials and Gen Z want. Right. And so we have to change how leaders lead, right? If you look at the story of Microsoft, it's a great one, right? With Satya Nadella, you know, he comes in 2014 at a time when, if you read some of the journals back from you know, early to 2012, 13, 14, if you read, I mean, people were saying Microsoft is going to go away, you know, it's going to become an insignificant company. And the reason for that was such a bureaucratic command and control environment. People didn't have psychological safety. People didn't feel trust in their leadership. People didn't see a vision for the organization. And Satya Nadella comes in and he changed. I mean, think about that. How does one man, I mean, what Microsoft, I mean, Microsoft has at least 100,000 employees, right?
Yeah.
How does one man come in and change the face of a company, change the entire culture of the company? It's amazing, right? But he did it because he came from a place of trust and love and treating people like humans, and instead of being a spreadsheet on some Excel document in the CFO's office. And so, you know, that became really where I wanted to go with life, was to create programs to help leaders humanize leadership. And I want to do it in corporate America, because corporate America is not, you know, it's not highly sought after. It's not, I mean, think about the gig economy. I mean, people are trying to run away from corporate jobs, and that's not good for our economy. That's not good for these large companies. So that whole idea of becoming my future self, really, it changed everything. And it started with the thought process of how can I help others? And it, And I almost went through the motions in the beginning, right? It was okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. But with patience, I mean, and once again, having great thought leadership from you know, the mastermind group that I joined and having highly empathetic people around me who understood the journey that I was trying to take and trying to recover from. It was just, I mean, I hate saying it this way, but I even said it in my TED talk. I mean, really, it was like magic. Like everything started to change. I started showing up in life. I started being a better dad, a better husband. Mm-hmm. I started being a better leader. I started giving people more autonomy than I ever have. You know, I'm starting to expect more of people because they have the capability to do it. Mm-hmm. And you have to help people see past those self-limiting beliefs and help people see past the imposter syndrome. So that's the mission I'm on. And once again, I'm only 14 short months outside of the accident. So, you know, and I'm still in a mastermind group. I've joined a couple other mastermind groups since then because it's been so amazingly helpful for my recovery and my journey. It's just amazing. When you surround yourself with a group of people, you become that environment, right?
Yeah.
Just like I tell my kids, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. I truly believe that because we do become our environment.
Lovely. That's really great. Yeah. So, I mean, as someone who has experienced the profound trauma and emerged stronger, what message would you like to share with the listeners who may be struggling with their own traumas or the setbacks?
Yeah, no, you have to find an empathetic witness. Mm. You have to, whether it's through therapy, whether it's through a friend, and it doesn't even have to be someone that knows you, mm. right? I mean, truly, if you can't afford therapy, you know, there are people everywhere. Find someone that listens and understand that regardless how bad things are or seem, and it's usually more of a seem, it's our thoughts that really, it's our mindset. And it's so hard to get out of that, what feels like a broken mindset. It really is. And so I understand the struggle. I understand how awful, you know, I understand waking up and not wanting to get out of bed. You know, I understand that pit in your stomach, that the butterflies, the, you know, the tightness in the chest, the tightness in the neck and the shoulders, like all of that is so real, but that's a mindset. And it really is, because the moment I changed my thoughts to helping others, like really, truly figuring out like what talents do I have that I can give back to others. And I still don't know that I've got the full answer, right? But I know that it's pulled me out of that hole that the accident put me in. Mm. And the thought of helping others and the thought of giving back and the thought of, honestly, this feeling of insignificance starts to go away. It just does. And we become bigger than the lives that we are leading because you're focusing on other people. And when that shift happens, I mean, it's magic, and it happens quickly. I mean, I get like a little bit emotional thinking about it.
Exactly. Okay. So before we move, like looking back on your journey of recovery and resilience, what are some of the key lessons that you have learned that you believe are universally applicable to anyone facing the adversity?
Yeah. I am so looking forward, and if this feels like I'm a commercial, I don't get any money from Dr. Benjamin Hardy for promoting the stuff that he does. But for me personally, it was what I experienced and the whole idea of becoming your future self with helping others in mind is a game changer. And I truly believe, because there's enough data and science in the world today about mindset.
True.
Right. We know that our actions follow our thoughts.
Yeah.
We know that. That's proven. That's universally proven. You know, if you think bad thoughts constantly, guess what? Your bad things are surrounding you, because we are once again become our environment. So find an environment of hope, find an environment of future self, find an environment and a group of people that learn and understand you. And it doesn't happen overnight. None of this is a quick fix. The shift will happen. Once you lock in, the shift will happen pretty quickly. Now, I still get emotional telling the story, right? Because it takes you back. But I find now that it's really cathartic. So talking about the things that you've gone through, there's no shame. Shame is a hell of a thing to overcome. It really, truly is.
Yeah.
And so really working hard to get past the shame or the guilt, when in reality, most of the trauma that happens to us, we just have to flip that framework. We have to reframe what happened to us and make that change to how did what happen? What lessons did I learn? As awful as it can be, what have I learned? And so I cannot wait for his next book, Dr. Hardy's next book, to come out, I think later this fall. It's called Rapid Transformation. I'm a beta reader, so I've got a chance to see the first three chapters, and it's amazing. Amazing. I wish that I could afford to give hundreds of thousands of people this book. But my goal is to try and teach as much of the lesson that impacted me as possible, because it has been life changing. And I'm 50 years old and I'm starting an entirely new journey, an entirely new company, an entirely new persona of who I'm going to be. And it feels unbelievably amazing. So I know that can happen to any of your audience members who are experiencing any level of trauma. And I'd be happy to have conversations with anyone that reaches out, because I know how tough it is to find somebody that you can trust that understands what you're going through.
Exactly. Exactly. That's definitely gonna help people for this, for sure. So thank you so much, Michael, for sharing your insights. And dear listeners, like Michael's story is definitely a testament to the strength of the human spirit and the power of finding the purpose in the face of unimaginable adversity. So his courage to confront the trauma head on and emerge with the renewed purpose definitely serves as an inspiration to all of us. So always remember that no matter what challenges we face in life, there is always a hope for healing and the growth. And
amen.
Yeah, and Michael's story reminds us that through introspection, self-care, and a commitment to finding the meaning, we can overcome even the most unthinkable circumstances. So thank you again, dear listeners, for tuning in. And be sure to subscribe to Healthy Mind and Healthy Life for more empowering conversations and the practical insights into nurturing your mental well-being. So until next time, take care of yourselves and remember that resilience is within reach. So even in the darkest of times. So thank you so much.